producing.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Right now,
the coach's son is going to dribble out his dad's championship. 76-59.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Every dog has his day, and this day belongs to the Huskies.
Today's guests, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, ESPN senior NBA writer Brian Windhorst, two-time Academy Award winner Ben Affleck. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Can confirm. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live in Los Angeles, California on the first Tuesday of April 2023, live on the Roku channel. All Roku devices have us for free. Same thing with Amazon Fire TV, select Samsung Smart TVs. You want to see us today? The Roku app has the Roku channel on it. It's free. TheRokuChannel.com is another way to watch us for free. Every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern, we say hello to our terrestrial radio network, Coast to Coast, and Sirius, XM, and Odyssey. We love our podcast listeners. We know you're listening on demand. It's your right. And we appreciate you taking the time out to take in this show. Hit us with a subscribe button. We add you to the old RSS feed. We're thrilled to have you there. And we have a YouTube page as well, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We are off and running. Jay Billis is going to be joining us in about 19 minutes time to talk about the way both the men and women national championship game went down on Sunday. And then on Monday night, Brian Windhorst, as we turn our attention to professional men's basketball, the association is getting ready to start its playoff season. Brian Windhorst will join us at the top of hour number two. And we had Matt Damon on yesterday. We have to be fair and balanced. Ben Affleck will be on today's program, the director of the movie Air that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck star in. He will be in on this show in hour number three. When I'm not sitting in this chair and my better half sits in this chair filling in for me, I love hopping on the old Twitterverse and people saying, oh, it's a Susie show today on the Rich Eisen Show. Well, I'm here today.
Yeah.
And it's still a Susie show, sitting in for Chris Brockman today. It's Susie Schuster.
You want to switch seats? I can go sit over there.
No, I'm fine right here.
You sure? I can drive, Rich.
I appreciate it.
I'm very comfortable driving.
Didn't think the show would start with an insurrection. But,
I'm just saying, if you want to switch, I can drive and drink at the same time.
I think spatially we're fine today. We are.
He doesn't want Wally pipped, Susie.
Good to see you, Susie. Good to see you.
Although I'm happy to be here.
I saw your, first thing this morning. How are you, Mike Del Tufo?
Well, I have my old, beautiful, lovely old
Thank
friend.
Thank you.
I love old,
careful, not old.
Old and I say old that I've known Susie forever.
Oh, he's just, he is.
I knew what he was doing.
He's like a duck swimming underwater right now. You see the legs working. You just see the top half looking very, very smooth.
I love.
He's already got the sweat going.
No, I'm not sweating.
No, he's not.
I just feel bad that
I am here to stand up for Mike Del Tufo.
I know that. You do that all the time.
Susie forever.
You do that all the time. Tiger's speaking right now at Augusta National. He looks tired. I mean, he looks wiped out.
I understand.
But that's just when you think he might look tired. He'll light up Augusta National. At any rate, it's Masters Week as well now that the national championship game is done. Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Candles lit over there. What's going on?
Hey, Rich, I'm coming off the greatest four-day stretch of wrestling watching in my entire life, man. Yeah. This weekend was incredible. And last night I was at Monday Night Raw.
Oh, that's right.
One of my favorites, Io Sky, whose T-shirt I'm wearing, I'm pretty sure she winked at me when she got into the ring. My buddy Vince Condi, friend of the show, can confirm this. So
yes.
I feel great today.
Where was it? At Crypto last night?
Last night was at Crypto,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, man, what a week.
Bad Bunny was in front of me.
Ah.
He got beat up. It was amazing.
Okay. Bad Bunny was in front of you. Do you say down in front because the ears are too tall?
You didn't have ears.
I did that just for you.
I see what you're saying. I like your style.
We're off and running here on this program. Let's start with April 3rd, 1989.
Ooh, it's a long time ago.
Yes. It was 34 years ago last night. One of the greatest nights of my life. You want to talk about how great a weekend you had sports? April 3rd, 1989. The night that I ran across the campus at the great University of Michigan trying to, because I drew the short straw to close down and wrap up the coverage of the Michigan Daily, the student newspaper, the student publication, the Michigan Daily. I drew the short straw. I had to paper ready for the next day to talk about the national championship game that Michigan was playing against Seton Hall. Everyone was partying. I was like a salmon running against
the upstream.
So did we call you Richie two times now? You had to go get the papers,
I did it that night. Okay. I had to create the papers. But on that night, it was incredible. Steve Fisher, who had just gotten the job because Bill Frieder said he was leaving Michigan to go coach Arizona State, and Bo Schembechler said, I'm going to have a Michigan man coach a Michigan team, and turned to Steve Fisher. They, as they said that night, shocked the world and beat, sorry, Mike Del Tufo, your Seton Hall Pirates, but don't worry, this has a happy ending on the sports front for you,
for
sir.
Me, in theory.
Okay, in theory. But on that night, Steve Fisher and Michigan cut down the nets, beating Seton Hall in Seattle that night, and Brian Dutcher was an assistant coach for Steve Fisher on that night. And look who was there on April 3rd, 2023, last night in the national championship game, again, this time as head coach of the San Diego State Aztecs, Brian Dutcher. All he had to do was beat UConn and its stout team, head coached by a guy who 2 years after Seton Hall had that difficult, gutting loss of a national championship night, the head coach, P.J. Carlissimo, put on the floor a team whose point guard was named Danny Hurley.
Yeah.
And at the time, he was known as the younger brother of Bobby Hurley, who was killing it for Duke at the time.
Two-time champ.
And Dan Hurley
was
the point guard for P.J. Carlissimo's three final seasons at Seton Hall. And he played 5 years. He had a redshirt year. He played 5 years at Seton Hall, Dan Hurley. And then after his playing career was over, he followed suit of not just P.J. Carlissimo, but his Hall of Fame father, a Hall of Fame high school coach, father, Bob Hurley, who was, as you know, Mike, a legend in New Jersey.
After the recruits were just coming out of that school.
And Dan Hurley took over St. Benedict's Prep in New Jersey and crushed it there to the point where college came calling. And his first stop was P.J. Carlissimo's old haunt in my hometown of Staten Island, New York, Wagner College, we call it back home, Wagner.
Wagner. Yes.
Wagner College. And Dan Hurley performed well enough there as coach that Rhode Island came knocking. The old Big East, right?
Yep.
And he was there for a few years. And while he was at Rhode Island, UConn won a national title out of nowhere in 2014 with a former UConn player, Kevin Ollie, who in 2018, out of the blue, as far as I was concerned, sitting here on this set, suddenly got axed in an NCAA investigation. UConn says adios to one of its most decorated players and coaches and turned to Dan Hurley, who last night took a team on the floor after rampaging its way to the national championship game out of the blue as a four seed and took on none other than San Diego State's Brian Dutcher in a mat contest on the floor in Houston, where it was a brawl because that's the way UConn plays basketball. And they mauled San Diego State, and they were too long for San Diego State. And every single time San Diego State had the ball underneath the basket, they had to alter a shot or couldn't even get a shot off. And part of the reason why is to go along with a kid from El Paso, Texas, and Tristan Newton, and a kid from Amsterdam, New York, and Andre Jackson Jr., and a kid from the Mid-Atlantic, Jordan Hawkins, who happens to be Angel Reese's cousin. They had a kid from Mali named Adama Sanogo, who is just a revelation under Dan Hurley's tutelage. And this team together on the 34th anniversary of Seton Hall losing to Michigan and, in part, Brian Dutcher, with Dan Hurley, beat Brian Dutcher's San Diego State team, and in so doing, Dan Hurley, with only two previous NCAA tournament wins prior to this run, joins a list of three other coaches who entered an NCAA tournament that they won with only two or fewer career tournament wins. And look who's on the list. Kevin Ollie and Steve Fisher and Jim Valvano.
Wow.
You can't make it up.
That's an amazing story.
And UConn, Suze, when we first met in the newsroom at the Worldwide Leader in Sports in 1996.
Nope.
Seven.
Yep.
Thank you. When we first met, you remember, I mean, UConn was a women's basketball school.
That Gino Auriemma, right?
Gino Auriemma and, you know, the rest of the team. And I remember when I first arrived in Connecticut and, you know, my fraternity brother was working there. Mitch, Phil Blood Green, his nickname is Blood because, you know, of Mitch Green. He took me to a bar, and the place was jammed. And the game that was on was UConn's women.
Yeah.
And the UConn men's team that Jim Calhoun was trying to get up. Yep. I mean, even Jim Nance in his final game last night was saying, and when they won the Big East tournament in 1990, that was out of nowhere. Like, this team, that was a huge step up for them.
Yeah, this was like UMass, not UConn years.
Right. Yeah, when Marcus Camby, damn it.
And
John Calipari was making a name for himself. Yeah. Just up the road from the Worldwide Leader. And this team now has not one, not two, not three, not four, but five men's national championships since 1999 now. And they are, you got to throw it in there, a blue blood of men's college basketball. They now have as many all-time national championships on the men's side as Indiana and Duke. And one behind North Carolina.
Oof.
And three behind Kentucky. And obviously, we're all still chasing UCLA thanks to the Wooden years. Yeah. But go figure. And it's funny. You're a Georgetown fan, TJ. Mm-hmm. You hate UConn.
I do,
Brockman,
man.
Who's not here today, you know, Syracuse guy, he hates UConn. I don't know. I mean, I'm a St. John's guy. UConn never rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, Seton Hall, I just...
The mall. They played in the mall.
That's before they built their new palace and stores, right?
Yes.
Where the Whalers played?
They played in the mall. When we played in Seton Hall, we go up and play with
them. Oh, my. It's truly unbelievable what this has turned into.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah. Amazing.
And so you got to give it up. Got to give it up. And Sanogo has got 2 years of eligibility left if he wants to keep playing, but every other most outstanding player that UConn has, four other ones, as we know, they all left as soon as they won it for the NBA. And the names are familiar. Rip Hamilton, Mecca Okafor, Kemba Walker, and Shabazz Napier. They all said adios. But if Sanogo comes back, why can't they run it back? They were young. They were strong. They made shots. They were well coached. They executed every play possible. And we're clearly underseeded as a four seed. Clearly underseeded as a four seed. But they were one of the top, clearly 16 teams in the nation coming into this tournament. And they boat raced their way to the title as they had the fourth largest average margin of victory since the tournament expanded to 64 teams in 1985. They won their six games by an average of 20 points on the head. 20.
Yeah, every game was double digits. Every single game.
Fifth time since 1985 that happened. Mm-hmm. How about that? Son of a coach. And Dan Hurley, national champion head coach. 34 years to the night, his mentor, P.J. Carlissimo, lost to Michigan. And P.J. was there as part of the Westwood One coverage, calling the game.
He probably felt right. It made P.J. probably feel a little good.
It took you 3.5 decades to get your pound of flesh, but you got it.
You got a little.
Well done.
Better.
We'll talk about it with Jay Billis coming up right next on the Rich Eisen Show. We also have Brian Windhorst on this program, and we also have Ben Affleck, the Academy Award-winning director of the movie Air, which is dynamite. Susie and I saw it a few weeks ago. It's great. We have lots to talk about on this program. Susie's got a news update. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Apparently, Bill Belichick has been shopping someone on the New England Patriots. And he plays quarterback, and his name is not Bailey Zappi. You can narrow down who I'm talking about. That's according to Pro Football Talk. So there is lots of talk here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Jay Billis when we return. Monster.com can help you tackle the job hunt and make your next career move. In football and in life, there's the regular season, and then there's the playoffs. Monster.com knows that scoring your next job, that's a playoff moment. To bring your A game, you need Monster.com. Looking to change positions and join a new team? Monster can help. Monster.com has millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows how to match you with those job fits. When you score the position, Monster.com's salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. The regular season is history, and we all know the playoffs are no time for messing around. It's time to get off the sidelines and go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. Monster.com. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, as we know, back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, along with the Roku channel live stream. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. So lucky I can reach out to this man and say, hey, day after the national championship game, I know you're a busy man. Call in and give us your thoughts on the game and then what's going to happen next. One of our favorites from the worldwide leader in sports, Jay Billis, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you?
I am well. I'm better for talking to you. Your thoughts on what you saw last night, Jay?
Well, it was a coronation. I mean, UConn was, I think everybody listening probably knows, they started the season 14-0 and were ranked number one or two, whatever it was. And they looked like they were going to rip through the entire season. And they went through a weird stretch where they were, I think they lost 6 of 8, and they were all Big East games. Because they didn't lose to a non-conference opponent all year. Same thing they did in 2011 when Kemba Walker was there and won the championship. But, you know, a lot of teams, when they see their own blood, they're never the same. And they were not only the same, but they got better. And by the end of the year, I don't know how they became a 4. I know they lost those 8 games, yeah, but still, they're legit, obviously. But they never had to play a 1 or 2 seed throughout the tournament. I think the highest seed they played in the tournament was a 3. They beat a couple of 5s, beat a 13 in the first game. But they decimated everybody. I mean, to go through that tournament and average an average margin of victory of 20, that's historic.
And so what do you think made the difference? Why are they so good? What makes them so good?
Well, they're really talented, and they are really balanced. So they play equally well on defense as they do on offense. And they've got players, you know, that I think accepted roles, which is not always easy. And your role isn't necessarily what you're capable of. It's just what the team is asking you to do to win a championship. And the primary example to me is Andre Jackson Jr. Like, he's not a scorer. That dude's one of the best passers you're going to see. And some of the passes he threw in the championship game, he had 6 assists, but they were all like next level. Can you believe he threw that and got through type of passes? And then I heard you a little bit talking about Tristan Newton, and I agree that he's the reason for the portal. You know, a guy that was probably under-recruited out of high school, you know, an 18-point-a-game score at East Carolina, and then he goes to UConn, has to switch positions and play point, and had a, you know, not only had a great year, he had a couple triple-doubles during the year, but in the championship game, he goes 19 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals, if I remember right. He turned it over a few times, which was the only thing he could nitpick about his performance or UConn's. Just a stunning, you know, it was stunning, really, the whole tournament for them.
Well, it wasn't me who pointed it out. It was my wife, Susie, who pointed it out. And I have to give her credit since she's staring right at me right now. And you also know her from back in the day at ESPN, Jay. So there's that, too.
Well, I think it's good to always defer to the smarter of the two.
Thank you, Jay.
There you go. There you go. I just figured I'd have to, you know, go back old memory lane with you a little bit here. So why is Sanogo so good? You could see it. But I'd love to have you tell me what makes him as good as he appears. His name entered, was in very select company entering last night's NCAA tournament final with Hakeem and Corliss Williamson and Leitner as averaging 20 points per game and shooting 65% or better getting into that game. So why is he so generationally great, do you think?
I think, Rich, he had the natural progression of a really good player, almost old school wise. And he came in, he didn't have all the tricks in his bag. He had to learn at this level. And sort of like UConn as a team, you know, they struggled last couple of years in the tournament. They lost in the first round, and sometimes you have to win by losing, if that makes sense, and learn how to win. And you're not going to learn how to win until you take some punches. And they took a few, and they got better together. And Sanogo's a prime example of that. His footwork got better, his skill set, and he's always had the physical tools. But to see somebody put it together like that is really, really rewarding. And then when he goes out, they bring in a 7'2 freshman, Donovan Klingon, who was awesome throughout the tournament. Unbelievably talented and just covers up the rim. And nobody seems to care who gets the credit on that team, which is a pretty cool way to play.
Well, Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. A few minutes with him the day after the NCAA tournament wraps up with a UConn win. UConn now has as many national championships on the men's side as your highly esteemed institution of higher learning in Duke. Also, as many all-time wins as Indiana. But we also understand the consistency between those other two programs and who was at the helm. It's three different guys in three different eras, in a way. How does that happen? How do you ascribe their success, Jay?
Well, I mean, Rich, everybody talks about this blue blood thing. And to me, the blue blood discussion is kind of like talking about wealth. You know, the blue bloods and wealth, they're like the Vanderbilts and the Gettys and all that have the old money. And nobody says blue blood for Bill Gates or Mark Cuban or all this stuff. But, you know, the UConn, since 99, they've won 5 championships. And you mentioned 3 different coaches. They've been as successful as anybody. And the idea that they've been to the championship game 5 times, they've won them all, is absurd. And they've won as a favorite. They've won as a 4 seed. They've won as I think they were like a 7 seed 1 year and won the whole thing. It's just absurd how good they've been. But the 3 coach thing is the thing that fascinates me, because when Calhoun was there and the Big East broke up, the ACC was really looking at UConn. And one of the things I remember hearing from some ACC administrators were they were concerned that UConn might be a one coach program, that when Calhoun left, it might not stay at that level. And not only did it stay there, in a way, it's kind of elevated because it stayed there with all the changes we've seen in college sports. So pretty remarkable, and especially when you put the men's and women's together. You know, they've won like 16 championships there. I mean, that's the capital of basketball.
And I guess the Hurley family can coach. This just in, right, Jay? I mean,
yes,
they know how to coach.
Well, I felt really good. I felt really good for Danny, because I think you know the story, Rich. You know, he's Bobby Hurley's younger brother. He played at Seton Hall about the same time Bobby did. They played against each other in the NCAA tournament 1 year when I was a grad assistant at Duke. And I was sitting there worried about what this is, you know, how difficult it was on Bobby. It never occurred to me how difficult it was on Danny. And he had some real issues dealing with it, and almost gave up the game. And for him to come through all that and now, you know, be able to, I think Reese Davis was saying, you know, now he gets to sit at the table at dinner and flash that ring, you know, because Bobby's got two as a player, and his dad won a bunch of national championships as a high school head coach. You know, now he's got bragging rights, and it's really nice for him.
It is. Are you willing to share a little bit more on that? Like, difficult for Dan Hurley? I know it's obvious when you're talking about maybe sibling rivalries or living up in your own household, doing the same thing as what dad does, but is it as simple as that? Or what do you got for me on that, Jay?
Well, he had real mental health challenges, and to where he, you know, for a while, if I remember right, he wouldn't come out of his room and you know, kind of give up the game type of stuff because of the pressure. And then if you remember, I think Danny was either in college or just out of college when Bobby got in that accident that almost killed him. And he had some real issues with that, some guilt issues that you know, kind of it should have been me thing, which nobody should have to think about.
Mm. And now he's a national champion head coach. Can't make it up, right, Jay? And he's on the list of coaches who had two or fewer NCAA tournament wins entering a tournament that he eventually won. And the other three are Jim Valvano, Kevin Ollie, who he succeeded, and Steve Fisher, whose assistant on the night that he beat Seton Hall and P.J. Carlesimo, who Dan used to play for, the assistant, Brian Dutcher, he beat Brian Dutcher last night. It's unbelievable. Again, you cannot make it up, Jay. You cannot.
Yeah, it's kind of a small world in that regard. But, you know, I think any time you see somebody who's done it the hard way, you have a really good feeling about it. And that's why, you know, maybe it's because, you know, when I played a million years ago, my team was the number one overall seed, and we lost in the title game by a bucket. And so I always look at the losing team going off the floor every championship because I was there. And, you know that feeling of being right there, it should have been yours, and it's not. And, you know, you feel really good for Brian Dutcher because he was a career assistant. His dad, Jim Dutcher, yep, was the head coach at Minnesota back in the day, and he was there at the game last night. He'd not been feeling well. But Brian, you know, it took him to his late 50s to get a head coaching job when he succeeded Steve Fisher and helped Steve build that program at San Diego State, which was nothing when they got there. They literally could not give tickets away. They were walking around campus with tickets in their pocket, and they were probably bribing people to come. And now that's one of the hottest tickets in Southern California. And, you know, I don't know if you've been to Viejas Arena, but it is awesome. It is just a fantastic place.
Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. Couple more minutes left with Jay. You want to chime in on the women's national championship game? Your opinion on the national conversation that came out of it and what the game, how compelling it was, Jay?
Well, I think it's, you know, I covered women's basketball years ago back in 2000 when I sat at the desk with Robin Roberts and Vera Jones, and it was a blast. And the way the game's grown since then is so gratifying, so fun to watch. And it's such a clean, good game. I mean, some of it gets overly physical, like the men, but to watch Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and that whole made up controversy. Like, why can't women be that competitive while they trash talk like the guys do? And I thought it pointed out some things that we do in society that we should be more mindful of. And I was happy that there was that sort of discussion. And then what South Carolina's Dawn Staley said after the game, like, we should be mindful of what we say and how we couch things when we're making descriptions of players and teams. And I thought that was all positive.
Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, before I let you go, I guess it's Victor Wembanyama's world, and we're just paying rent in the NBA draft. Teams, I imagine, falling all over themselves, hoping for ping pong balls to hit. That's next on your radar screen is the NBA draft. Who did we see in the last 2-3 weeks you think helped themselves for that from the tournament?
Jay? I'm sure Jordan Hawkins helped himself. There are a number of college players that probably moved up among the college players, but we're going to see, it's going to be a youthful draft again. And I think the thing that I'll be interested in watching, not just this year, but as we go forward, is how, you know, how players, the top players coming out of high school, are deciding what to do next. Are they going to, they going to take more money and go to college, or are they going to go into the G League where they get NBA coaching and don't have to go to school, or overtime elite, which is kind of a, an odd, odd thing to me, because it's so sort of social media like. But to me, it'll be really interesting to see. But Victor Wembanyama, if LeBron James were 18 years old right now and the same player that came out of St. Vincent St. Mary's in 2003, I actually think it'd be a tough decision what you should do. That's how wow. transformational this guy's going to be. He's a 7'4" guard. And it's like looking at a Giannis that can shoot and handle. He's next level. None of the stuff you've heard has been made up. He's the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that video on the SportsCenter Instagram of him following up a 3-point short shot of his own with a jam. I've never seen anything like that. He's unreal. Do you think we see Sanogo in the draft? What do you think, Jay?
I don't know. The game's kind of different from his style. He can certainly and will play in the NBA, mm-hmm. but he's going to have to continue to improve his perimeter shot to where he can stretch the floor a little bit. And I think in pick and roll situations defensively, he can be at risk. So he's going to have to improve there. But you know, he's probably a late first into the second round pick, and it may be worth his while to come back. It may be more money if he comes back.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the hard part for some of these guys is the financial component versus, you know, they're getting older every year. And, you know, do you want to go into the league when you're 22 or 23, when the league doesn't value you the same way as they do an 18-year-old? That's sort of a hard decision.
Yeah, and then last one, I texted you this because I'm just fascinated by Marquise Noel. We had him on yesterday, finally got a chance to meet him, and I just love watching him play. What are his pro prospects, do you think, Jay?
Oh, he'll play in the NBA because of his quickness, his ability to shoot it. He'll be fine. And years ago, his size would have been a detriment. Not anymore. He'll be fine. You know, look, you'd rather be bigger, but if you're good enough, you're big enough, and he's good enough.
Jay, I appreciate the time, man. Did you call in from the golf course, Jay? Are you calling in from the golf course?
You're damn right I did.
I knew it.
I missed a birdie putt because of you.
Oh, my gosh. I appreciate it. So, seriously, when you say you missed a birdie putt, were you putting while talking to me? Is that what happened?
Yeah. I putted a 12-foot birdie putt and missed it, and then now I got about 115. I hit a tee shot while we were talking and hit it right down the middle. Now I got about 115 to an uphill. Well, you can listen to me. You can listen to me hit it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
A little bit of a downhill lie.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I'm setting up to it. I look magnificent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's smart. All right, where did it land? Where are we? What dart did you throw,
it landed Jay? A little right of the flag.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to walk up the hill now and check out the putt if you want to stick around, but I'm so close to the hole I'll have to wait a while with my playing partners.
The magic of earbuds and also the ability to be a natural athlete and focus. Jay, you're the package. You're the full package right here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Thanks for doing it. You take care of yourself. That's Jay Billis, everybody. The multi-talented Jay Billis. Is that a first in our That's a first, I believe, in our almost 9-year history.
I have never tracked a golf swing live on this show. That is definitely.
Can we get that? Can we get that? I can't get that as a drop, but.
No, we have to.
Also, have you ever said the following? I look magnificent.
I do. I say it about me.
I love he threw that in as an aside. Just in case you were wondering, I look great.
His hair was perfect.
Oh, my God.
It's like the werewolf in London.
I'm pretty sure someone's called from a golf course.
Oh, we don't know that.
I think he
even has. How about that, man?
He's actually golfing while he's doing the interview. Like, that's a first.
He sounded really stressed. He really did.
That was so good.
That's what golf does too.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
Did you know the Sanogo didn't even start playing basketball till he was 15? He played soccer.
Unbelievable. Wow.
That's like really four Embiid. Languages. I've been doing a deep dive.
Embiid didn't start until he was 16 years old.
Yeah.
So
look at him now.
Look at him now. About to get one of them trophies.
Is he?
I hope so.
Which trophy?
I'm in order, preference for me, that Larry will be, and you know, then an MVP second.
Okay.
So about the Larry OB.
Very good.
I'm not even going to play it. That you was better to. Than him.
It's
that
okay. Than- you have a better. You have a new favorite. You know, drop from the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Toilets. There it is.
By the way, Rich, during WrestleMania at SoFi, bathroom lines were out of control, and I said, you know where this won't happen?
The new Clippers facility.
Because why, Mike? Toilets. Plenty of them, Mike.
That's right. Very good. All right, let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. And I have a great story about the competitive spirit of women, and one in particular that I think you'll enjoy, TJ Jefferson.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, you enjoy it. You enjoy these conversations.
You know
that's
I
next.
Do.
This is the Rich Eisen Show before Brian Windhorst joins us. After years of getting ripped off by big wireless providers, there's finally a better option. Mint Mobile is the affordable premium wireless service that you can buy online, starting at just $15 a month. By cutting out retail stores, Mint Mobile got rid of the crazy overhead costs, so you could score sweet savings every month. To get your new wireless phone plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/switch. That's mintmobile.com/switch. Monster.com can help you slam dunk your job hunts, just like we saw last night in the NCAA tournament. Hey, guess what? Monster.com is there for you to help you get your next gig. If you have a resume, if you have a job that you're looking for, if you have a job in mind, if you have that certain endeavor in mind, you've got to go to Monster.com and upload your resume right on the spot. You can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs, because employers are all over this site. Employers know that Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for them, and thus, Monster.com knows how to match you with those job fits. And when you score the position, when is the key word? Monster.com salary calculator ensures you're paid what you are worth. It is time for you to win your job hunt. Get off your couch. Get off the figurative job search bench and go to Monster.com and win the job hunt today. Monster.com. So we just heard from Jay Billis talking about the national championship game on the women's side, and I will easily say this. Women's national championship game, far more compelling than the men's. The men's game was out of reach from the middle of the first half all the way to the end. And you could say the national championship game on the women's side felt out of reach as well when LSU took a big lead into halftime and Iowa barely cut into a single digit. And San Diego State did whittle UConn's double-digit lead down to five last night at one point. But much more compelling personalities and figures and conversation out of the women's game than the men's national championship game. No doubt about it, and Jay was absolutely right about the competitive spirit. Why can't women just be as big a red ass and big a competitive trash-talking group as the men? He absolutely nailed it correctly. And I would know about the competitive spirit from the women's side of things.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. And I am talking about my lovely spouse and better half, Susie Schuster.
Who is she?
She's right there, and I'm not looking at her right now.
But
for
like
the
her
radio
title?
Is that because I trash talk in our house?
Nope.
And I'm far the more aggressive?
No. TJ Jefferson loves when we do the show together for many reasons, and I appreciate that, TJ. Yep. You love that the fact that we do wind up commuting to work together.
It's amazing.
And the story that we told about Susie's aggressive driving and how she thinks that I'm too sensitive about the subject matter and so on and so forth.
She's in a safe car, Rich.
The weird aggressive comes up a lot.
So
really,
unfortunately for you, TJ,
okay,
we did not commute.
Oh, yeah. Today. When I pulled into the parking structure, I saw her. I was like, oh.
However, it does not mean that I am bereft of a story to tell from the morning commute. And I'm about to tie all of these subjects together.
Let me get my tea ready. Hold on.
Because nobody wants to be in front of you driving to the same destination as you, quite like Susie Schuster. She
same way.
Just cannot be in the car behind you.
Okay. Rich, everything is a competition.
And she can't just be to the car beside you. Mm-hmm. She will use various lanes to pass by you.
He drives in the right lane almost the whole way all the time. It makes me insane.
No.
The right lane is for getting off the freeway. Rich is historically driven in the right lane.
False.
Who does that?
These are false stories.
Who does that?
Let me just tell
Who
a great...
Who does that? A barbarian Hold drives
on a minute.
The far
Hold
right
on
lane.
A minute.
Wait
Hold
a second. Let me take a sip real quick.
As you know, Susie loves dogs
yes.
more than humans.
I okay. picked up on that.
We yes. are... In our 13th month of living in temporary digs, mm-hmm. as we are redoing our home, and there is on our street one of our favorite dogs on planet Earth, a big, huge, white Great Pyrenees named Brady Ooh. After Tom.
Okay. Well, his mom, Stephanie, went to Michigan.
Correct.
So there you go.
Every day that I go to work and I see Brady... I will stop and say hello to the dog because the dog knows me and knows the car and knows everything. And I thought, as Susie was right behind me leaving, she would want to say hello to Brady as well. And I'm in the middle of this residential street.
In the middle of the street.
Saying hello to the dog.
So is Brady walking or is he in the yard?
He walks like, every morning.
He walks every morning.
Yeah. Okay. So
he's
Brady's
on the street.
And you
right,
pull
right,
okay.
right.
Okay.
Properly leashed.
Yeah, yeah.
And Susie, as I'm saying hello to the dog... passes to my right.
To get around.
To get around.
Well.
Fully knowing what I was doing and actually foregoing saying hello to one of her favorite dogs on the planet.
To get in front of
me. Just to get in front of me within feet of leaving the driveway.
I have work ethic, and I didn't want to be late, so I wanted to get down here to provide for this crew, this
Understood.
Staff, in
Understood.
A way that they're used to when I come here.
Understood.
Can I pet that dog?
And I appreciate your level of professionalism,
yeah.
but let's not overlook what was occurring.
It's like when a car comes
in. Like, she can't. She
NASCAR.
You passed up Brady, Susie?
No.
I stopped. I said hi to Brady, and then I continued.
But for a split second.
Looking for a picture from this morning.
But for a split second, you were trying to pass by me on a residential street within 50 feet of leaving the driveway.
Honey, you are a take-your-time kind of guy.
Untrue.
Okay? TJ, you should come for a hike with us.
Oh,
That's
God.
Fun.
Oh, yeah. She's sprinting up hills.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So annoying. We're there to get exercise. Rich is like, you don't make this fun, you know.
No, I don't. View. Stop saying
I'm with
that.
Rich here. It's for the view. You want the
I will say, I'm like, yeah, I'll go on a walk. I'll go on a hike, but just not when you're sprinting.
What's
yeah,
the
I
mean, difference between like a walk
sprint,
and a
it's
hike?
It's a hike.
What's the difference between a walk and a hike?
Well, walk is leisurely.
That's right. What about a hike? What does that say?
Well, I don't know, because once I moved to L.A., the thought of a hike has become different. Like, I always thought a hike was like the Price is Right guy that yodeled with a pickaxe and boots. And then I got here, people were like, we're going hiking. I'm like, where's the mountain? They're like, no, we're just going to walk running.
So now you,
I don't know what hiking is.
Exactly. And so now you understand when I came in here the day after the national championship game and I'm like.
Your back was hurt?
No. Well, that. But I'm not batting an eye at women trash talking, pointing to their ring mm-hmm. finger. Saying now you can't see me, John Cena
Tony,
stuff.
Shout out Tony Yayo for that.
You know, and people are like, women, wow, that's not that's not very
becoming.
Becoming. That so you are as competitive as any other human being I know.
Yes.
And
yes.
I am on the business end of it, driving to work with you.
Well, I saw what you tried to do.
What did I try to
Uh-oh.
Do?
So right around La Tijera,
Uh-oh.
You went Diamond Lane.
Well, I have an electric car.
Yeah.
yeah. Well,
was,
I didn't see you. By the way, I didn't see you.
Oh, I saw
you were long gone. You were
went,
long gone.
You tried to Diamond Lane me to get here first.
I mean, you got
but
a
I wanted to tell you
people.
What happened. I said, screw that.
Uh-huh.
So I went third lane.
Okay.
Faster.
You're on the 405
at this
point? He
was at two cars ahead of me going on the 105. This is very California.
And by the way, I didn't know this.
Wait a minute.
I didn't see it. If you were to put a percentage on, you know, the length of our commute.
Uh-huh.
You know. And it's sort of like when you're uploading a document. Mm-hmm. You see it 25%, 30%, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it goes and finally it completes to 100. I lost her. She lost me around 12% into our commute.
So you didn't even start the
we're
commute.
We're on Sunset in the 405.
Gone. I had no idea where she was. So she's like, oh, he's passing me in the diamond lane. I'll show him. I was completely oblivious to this whole scenario.
You know, it was so irritating. I was so pissed.
So there
because
you have
I was
it.
Going like 65.
There you go.
Coffee.
Susie, only 65?
Only 65, because there was that's a white van ahead of me, and I was pissed.
Please.
I couldn't go.
She was weaving,
so what
I'm
I did
sure.
was, Teej, so what I did was, when he got off here.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a car ahead of me.
I didn't even
he
see
made
her.
The, he made the turn into the garage.
Uh-huh.
I went around.
You came in the back room.
That's
first.
When I saw you, and I literally thought
first.
To myself,
yeah,
wow,
I did.
I beat her here. How did that happen?
I parked first.
See what I'm saying? Do you see what I am saying?
Yep.
Do you understand?
Oh, I get
why
it.
I'm not batting an eye as to what happened in the women's national championship.
That's your life.
At all.
That's your life.
At all. Women being competitive, really?
By the way,
how dare they be competitive?
I liked what Jay had to say, though. Like, it's not the 1930s.
And
like,
our daughter.
Play
I mean,
hard.
I'm on the business end of that, too.
That's
I
right.
bet.
That's
I
my
bet.
Girl.
And when she's giving me this look at like, oh, the other day, like she got really upset.
Susie did?
With our daughter, with her older Cooper, youngest mm-hmm. older brother, in a wiffle ball game, she got really pissed.
About what?
That he was calling his own balls and strikes, and she thought that I struck him out on her behalf,
mm-hmm.
and he called it a ball. And she got really pissed, and I took a shot at her because it's the same exact face as Susie Schuster. And I texted you and I just wrote one word, you.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though. I mean, Susie
poor
grew
thing.
Her with her body, so yeah.
Poor yes. thing.
So there you go. My
can we
2 days after take on the women's national championship.
The next time this happens, you two must drive to work together, and then we must install a camera inside the car.
But I have okay. to drive.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
that goes
I would call it a GoPro. She would call it a get out of here pro. See ya. Out.
See ya.
I don't know what's better now. You guys come together or separate. Like, both stories have been amazing.
There you go. I knew you'd like that.
Oh, I love it. I don't like it. I love it.
There you go.
Yes.
All right. Brian Windhorst is going to join us. What is going on with the Mavs? And how about the Lakers?
Wembanyama.
The Lakers they're may back. Go ahead and get out of the play-in tournament. We thought they might not make it. They yeah. might not have to be in it and still make the playoffs. Brian Windhorst is going to join us shortly. And then there is Ben Affleck joining us in hour number yeah. three. After Susie's news update, when I'm sure she'll be competitive, is it better than Brockman's news update?
Susie, let me ask you this. I asked about Brady. I said you didn't pet Brady. And you said, no, I pet Brady. So did you go around, Rich, just to pet the dog? And then
no.
I didn't pet him. I said good morning to him.
As you were zooming
by? No, wait,
by?
wait. I did. I think I did reach out the window and give him a pat.
After I vacated the spot.
Well, that's
you
true.
Came around to my right side. Like, you're ready to pass me.
Honey,
to my
took
right
a long
on a residential
time.
Street. Because I like saying hello to Brady. He's a sweet boy.
Yeah. Do you know what I just found under the desk? Chewed gum.
Fantastic.
How do you feel about that?
Is that a Ricola?
It's a Ricola bag with a piece of chewed gum.
There you go.
Inside of it? Or
no, on the outside. Look
why
at
do
this.
We have flies?
I think that may be sometimes. Brockman's least favorite thing is you rummaging around his workspace
I'm
and calling
rummaging.
Him out.
Not rummaging. I'm just throwing away the gum that he left on top of the
I mean, it was just laying there. She didn't have to rummage.
He did leave me a cord for the computer today. I thought that was them.
Very good.
It was nice.
That was Ford.
All right. So Susie's gotten donuts for everybody.
Well, yeah.
How'd you know?
Because I saw it over there.
Oh, yeah, there they are.
And I also, thanks, I'm on the Lord. Same Postmates app as you.
Oh, that's right.
This just in.
Do you get donuts for the guys, Rich?
I do not, sir.
No donuts, no champagne.
I mean, I'm back in the seat in a couple weeks, and I think there's a bunch of champagne waiting.
Rich, you got to step your game up, B.
Brian Windhorst, coming up, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show.